Hey guys, it's The Wiz, and welcome back to another episode of Let Your Mind Wander. Tonight's episode is going to be just a tad bit longer than usual, and the subject of tonight's episode is, did Jesus travel? Hopefully you guys really enjoy this. I did a lot of research into this, and then in the description I will put all my sources, and just hopefully you guys enjoy. Did Jesus travel? By Wiz. According to the Gospels, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth, engaged in illiterate ministry throughout Galilee, Judea, and places between them, and was executed in Judea just outside Jerusalem. Except for a brief stay in Egypt with his parents as a baby, Matthew 2:12-15 and 19-23, all of Jesus' mortal life appears to have taken place within a radius of roughly 100 miles of the place of his birth. The Holy Land where Jesus lived, from the mountains north of the Sea of Galilee to the desert south of Jerusalem, is a tiny region that is, could fit within the bounds of Lake Michigan with a room to spare. Throughout most church history, this understanding that Jesus remained within the Holy Land throughout his youth and adult years went virtually unchallenged. However, in the past two centuries, following the expedition of Europeans through Asia in the Western Hemisphere, numerous stories have been told about Jesus visiting other parts of the world. Might there be any truth to these stories, and why does it matter? These stories typically claim that Jesus traveled to other parts of the world during periods of his life not covered by Gospels. Such stories may seem plausible because they appear to fill in gaps in what we know about Jesus. We can classify or categorize these various stories according to the period of time in or around Jesus' life in which they are set. 1. Between the ages of 12 and 30. 2. Supposedly escaping Jerusalem instead of dying on the cross there, and dying years later in another country. And 3. Shortly after his resurrection from the dead. The missing years. According to Luke, Jesus was raised in Nazareth by his parents, who made an annual journeys to Jerusalem for Passover, including when he was 12. Luke 2:39-42. At that Passover, Jesus stayed behind for a few days, talking with the teachers in the temple, after which his parents found him and he returned to Nazareth. 2:43-52. Luke then tells us that Jesus was baptized by John and began his public ministry when he was about 30 years old. 3:21-23. Since neither Luke nor any other gospel writers tell us anything about Jesus' youth or young adult years, the period from age 12 to about 30 is often called the missing years of Jesus' life. Not surprisingly, many stories about Jesus traveling are set in this very period. The two best known of these stories suggest that during these years, Jesus traveled either to Britain or to India or some region near India. In some stories, Jesus traveled to several or many different countries, either to glean the wisdom and knowledge of multiple societies or to teach his message to them. Jesus in Britain. According to popular legend, Joseph of Arimathea, one of the members who buried Jesus in his tomb, had gone on to found the Christian church in Britain. Specifically, Joseph is claimed as the founder of the church in Glantonsbury, a town in southwest England, not far from Bristol. One of the many popular books that advances this claim was written by Lionel Smith Lewis, president of Glastonbury, whose claim that Joseph was followed to England by Simon the Zealot, mentioned in Romans 16:10, Paul, and possibly Peter, Lewis also thought that there might be some truth in the strange tradition that Joseph took Jesus as a youth to England with him during one of his business trips there as a tin merchant. Quite a few other books have been written defending this claim. It's rather difficult to take the legend of Jesus accompanying Joseph to England seriously, when the earliest mention of Joseph at Glastonbury dates to around 1247. The tradition of Joseph traveling anywhere to Britain cannot be traced back before about 1200. The earliest versions had Joseph going to England years after Jesus' death and resurrection in a story that was twisted with lore about the Holy Grail, King Arthur, and other elements of medieval English legend. Not even John of Glastonbury's account of the church's history, written a century later, 1342, mentioned the story of the boy Jesus accompanying Joseph to England. William Blake's famous poem Jerusalem, wrote in 1811, asked, "And did those feet in ancient time walk upon English mountain green, and was the holy Lamb of God on English pleasant pastures seen?" Given that there is no evidence for a belief in Jesus literally walking in England prior to Blake, his poem may actually have contributed to that belief, which first emerges as a historical claim later in the 19th century. The notion has usually functioned more or less as the basis of some bragging rights about English Christian heritage. Jesus in India. A far more influential and significant myth is the claim that Jesus spent years in India prior to his public ministry in Galilee and Judea. The point of this story is to suggest that what Jesus taught was closer to Buddhism than to traditional Christianity. The book responsible for popularity of this claim was The Unknown Life of Jesus Christ by Nicholas Totevich, first published in Paris in 1894 and quickly translated into several other languages, including English. The book is Totevich's account of visiting a Tibetan Buddhist monastery at Himis in the Himalayas in the northernmost part of India, where he says a monk read to him from ancient manuscripts an account about Jesus. An interpreter translated the oral reading, and Totevich took notes from what he heard, on the basis of which he wrote The Life of Saint Jesus. After scholars strongly challenged the authenticity of Totevich's story, three individuals claimed to have made the journey to Himis Monastery in the 1920s and 1930s, and to have confirmed the existence of Jesus' manuscripts. Yet neither Totevich nor any of the three defenders managed to come back with photographs of the manuscripts, handwritten copies of them, or any other hard documentary evidence. Nor has anybody else ever produced such evidence in more than a century since Notovich's book was first published, despite the appearance of numerous books defending his claim. Evidence from the Gospel. The stories about Jesus visiting faraway countries such as Britain and India exploit the fact that the Gospels do not contain accounts specifically detailing Jesus' activities between the ages of 12 and about 30. However, the Gospels do tell us enough to discount the claim that Jesus was away from Galilee for most of those 18 or so years, and we can absolutely rule out the notion that he spent those years studying Hinduism or Buddhism in the East. According to Luke, after the incident when Jesus was 12 and Joseph and Mary returned to Jerusalem to find him, he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Jesus grew up in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Luke 2:51-52. This passage assumes, as one would expect, that Jesus continued to live in Nazareth for years after he turned 12. Luke says explicitly that Jesus had been brought up in Nazareth. Luke 4:16. The Gospels also report that the people in Jesus' hometown of Nazareth knew him as the carpenter. Mark 6:3. A trade he learned from Joseph, Matt 13:55, which shows that Jesus also spent his young adult years there as well. After his baptism and time in the desert, Jesus returned to Galilee, went to Nazareth, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. Luke 4:14-16. If it was his custom to attend the synagogue, this indicates he lived in the area and regularly practiced in the Jewish religious life. This piece of information is given here in two ways. First, it shows that Jesus had been living in Galilee for at least most of his life. The idea of Jesus traveling to a distant country and spending many years studying abroad does not fit with what Luke says. Second, it shows that Jesus remained thoroughly part of the Jewish religion and cultural community. He did not come into Galilee from India and some other Eastern country as a guru or teacher of exotic religion or spiritual alien to Judaism. He was Jewish, and his religious context was that of Judaism. Jewishness of Jesus' own teaching, as attested in all four Gospels, and in the teachings of his immediate followers as attested in the rest of the New Testament. It itself sufficient proof against the claim that he learned Hindu or Buddhism spiritually from the East and then returned it to teach it to the Jews. Bart Ehrman, an agnostic New Testament scholar, accurately summarizes the thoroughly Jewish character and context of Jesus' life and teachings. Most scholars today acknowledge not only that Jesus was a Jew, but that he was raised in a Jewish household in a Jewish hamlet of Nazareth in a Jewish Palestine. He was brought up in Jewish culture, accepted Jewish ways, learned the Jewish tradition, and kept Jewish law. He was circumcised, he kept Sabbath and periodic feasts, and he probably ate kosher. As an adult, he began preaching ministry in Royal Galilee, gathering around himself a number of disciples, all of whom were Jewish. He taught them his understanding of the Jewish law and of God, who called the Jews to be his people. And so Jesus was Jewish from the start to the last. As Catholic thinkers Peter Croft and Ronald Tracelli put it, to classify Jesus as a guru is as accurate as classifying Marx as a capitalist. Quote, another popular view is that Jesus did not actually die on the cross as the Gospels all report, but instead escaped execution and traveled to another land. The most popular of these theories claims that Jesus died in Kashmir, the northernmost part of India, some 2,500 miles east of Jerusalem. This theory agrees with Notovich that Jesus went to the part of India, but claims that he went there after his public teachings in ministry in Galilee and Judea, not before it. The claim was advanced originally in a 1908 book by Ghulam Ahmed, the founder of a movement and Islamic sect that regards Ahmed as the Messiah and kind of a latter-day Jesus for the Islamic tradition. German author Holger Christen argued in his book that both Notovich and Ahmed were correct and that Jesus had lived in Kashmir both before and after his public years in Israel, obviously denying that Jesus died on the cross and then rose from the dead is a rejection of the core facts of the Christian gospel. In assessing these stories about Jesus going to India, we should not make the mistake of thinking that such journey would have not been impossible. Sean McDowell, an evangelist Christian scholar, has pointed out that there is significant evidence for contact between India and the people of the Roman Empire in the first century. India may have been more open to direct communication with the West during the first 200 years of the Common Era. During any other period, the coming of the Portuguese in the 17th century. Many Roman coins dating from the time of Tiberius, AD 14 to 37, to Nero, AD 54 to 68, have been found in southern India. However, the historical evidence showing that India's first contact with Christianity much likely come through Thomas, one of Jesus' original 12 apostles. Various lines of evidence support the tradition that Thomas evangelized India in the first century and was killed with a spear and buried there. The evidence includes the Acts of Thomas, written in the early 3rd century and containing a mix of legendary and likely historical elements. It also includes reference to Thomas in the writings of the early church fathers and traditions of Christians in India. Such ancient evidence is not absolute proof, but in orders of magnitude better than any supported evidence for Jesus living in India provided by writers of the late 19th and early 20th century. There are still other legends about Jesus visiting other countries later in his life. One such theory is that Jesus and his wife Mary traveled to France and journeyed roughly 3,000 miles to the west. There is even a story of Jesus traveling all the way to Japan to live out his days some 6,000 miles to the east. Some authors, however, have sought to combine elements of these stories to weave a grand narrative of Jesus as a world traveler. According to Teresa McCannon, Jesus spent several years in Egypt, in England, and in India, and Tibet before returning to Galilee to teach his own people. The last category of his travels is of a different sort, since it's not involved Jesus per se traveling in any conventional sense as walking, riding an animal, or sailing in a ship. In these stories, Jesus appeared in one or more distant lands after his resurrection in order to reveal himself. By far the most well-known story of this type is in the Book of Mormon, according to which Jesus appeared somewhere in the Americas about AD 34 to a society of people called Nephites, descended from Israelites who have been living there for a millennia. The Book of Mormon's significance goes far beyond the seemingly intriguing idea that Jesus may have appeared in the Americas. The main point of the book in the context of the Mormon religion is that the Bible is an insignificant guide to the Christian faith, which can be popularly understood only with the Book of Mormon and other scriptures revealed through its author, Joseph Smith, and by becoming part of the church he founded. As in this case with the stories of Jesus traveling to India, the earliest known source claiming that Jesus visited the Nephites in the America dates from the 19th century, namely the Book of Mormon. To make matters worse, the Book of Mormon is also the only source referring to the existence of the Nephites. Despite the obvious difficulty, Mormons have a large number of scholars and other intellects who passionately argue in defense of the historical authenticity of the Book of Mormon. Their arguments, though often sophisticated, cannot overcome the basic problems. There is no ancient text or even a copy of it that said Jesus is said to have visited a great civilization that lasted nearly a millennium that does not seem to have even existed. And the Book of Mormon clearly originated in the 19th century, as can be seen by the issues in the addresses, paid clergy, infant baptism, whether miracles still happen, etc., and by its heavy dependence on the King James Version of the New Testament, even though none of the Nehips would have ever seen any of the New Testament. In an age of automobiles and airplanes, it seems surprisingly to us that Jesus never left the land of Israel after settling with his family in Nazareth as a young child. However, life is such a geographical limitation. Area was the norm for the vast majority of people in his culture. The historical evidence supports that, in conclusion, Jesus, in fact, did not visit any other parts of the world. Hey guys, it's the Wiz. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. Like I said, I put a couple weeks into this research and all this, looking around everywhere to find out who wrote about Jesus traveling here, Jesus traveling there, looking up some of the stuff I researched in my life. With that conclusion, that answers a great question of mine. Did Jesus travel? I always thought Jesus traveled around. I really did. But when I actually put research and everything and into it and did a lot of cross-referencing using the Bible, using this, using that, my conclusion is Jesus did not travel. Like my evidence in this video says, that he settled down and lived the Jewish life, and then he died and resurrected, and Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior now. So anyway, hopefully you guys enjoyed that. I'll have some more semi-religious content coming out. I definitely want to bring up a big controversial topic in this, creationism versus evolution. So I'll have that video up after I've done some prime research on that, like I did with this video. So hopefully you guys enjoy. Make sure you guys hit the link in the description if you guys want to go to my latest podcast, or want to go check me on Instagram or YouTube, and give me a like and a share, and I'll always follow you guys back. And a quick shout out to my homeboy over there on Instagram, Dojoland. That's DOJO_land_. Go give him a like and share. Make sure you hit his link to his Telegram. All right, until next time, always remember, keep your tinfoil hats and your bowls close. You never know what may happen.